Thank you, Greg. As I was thinking and praying for God to guide and help me to determine what the focus of my message would be for today's thoughts began to form in my mind almost immediately, brethren. Yes, thoughts of the love of God and of Jesus Christ toward us in our day-to-day living began again to flow into my mind. This message has a title, and I'll say it right now to start off. The title is Love and Service. We should understand that they know each one of us, God and Jesus Christ, very clearly, brethren. We can also understand that they are service-oriented. We also understand that the service they do continually involves love toward others. We can also understand that if we have received God's Holy Spirit, we are considered to be God's children. We can be comforted to know that we are God's children now. In 1 John 3:1, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then verse 3, And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So, brethren, we understand how blessed we are that we have a connection between God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Now, as children of God, our Father, we are given expectations in how to live. Most of us understand that as we are living our lives, God teaches us and directs us how to accomplish his expectations. He does this, of course, and we know, through prayer, Bible study, meditation, and instruction during the messages that we receive in Sabbath services and observance of all the feast days. These expectations are continual through our lives. We do not acquire them all at once. So let's quickly review now how God helps us to accomplish his expectations of how to live according to his will. Let me begin with 4 points right now. Number one, after we are baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, we are then justified by God to be his children. And thus, we then enter the second stage of our salvation journey, which is called sanctification. Sanctification. To be sanctified means that we are set apart by God to live holy lives, which means to strive to live our lives according to the guidance of God our Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the head of his church. So I think we understand that after we are baptized, brethren, and hands are laid on us, God gives us his Holy Spirit, which means we are now his children. But there's more to it than that. He also sets us apart, in other words, for holy use. That's the part where sanctification comes in. And sanctification is lifelong. We are all being sanctified. We're set apart to grow and develop and mature in many ways. In 1 Peter 1:15, it says, 1 Peter 1:15, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We are to live lives that are different from this world and strive to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as mentioned in 2 Peter 3:21. So we understand that our journey is lifelong, and we're traveling, and we're growing spiritually, and God is right there, and that's part of the sanctification process. We also are to keep our minds focused daily on the coming kingdom of God and the return of Jesus Christ. This would include, of course, how we live our lives each day. Now, Jesus Christ tells us what to do. He tells us that in Matthew 6:33. He says, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," as stated there in Matthew 6:33, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we recognize that, brethren, and we have to think about that on a daily basis. Who are we? We just aren't people that show up on the Sabbath. There's other parts of living that take place throughout the week. As God's children, we are expected to walk spiritually with God. God has given us his Holy Spirit to do that. And we need to utilize God's Holy Spirit in our daily living. In Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44, and I'll read it there. Matthew 24, 42 to 44, it says, Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, the foundation of these expectations that Jesus Christ states regarding being a faithful servant, loving God our Father, loving Jesus Christ our Savior, High Priest in our lives, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. This means that how we live must focus on the spiritual responsibilities that we have in serving and obeying our loving God, which is mentioned by Jesus Christ in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And it includes loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And that's the first one, and the great commandment is that the one. But also, the second is like it. For there it says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. So here's a question for all of us, brethren. How do we show love to other people? How can we show love to other people? Well, first, we must show and demonstrate our love to God. We must demonstrate our love to God first. We know that God loves all mankind, which includes us. And then we demonstrate our love to God and Jesus Christ by obeying them. Of course, that's very basic. By obeying them. And of course, the foundation of obedience, I think we all understand, is the Ten Commandments, or we can say are the Ten Commandments. Now, in John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." This is Jesus Christ speaking, of course. "And he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." And I think we understand that other helper is, as I will read now, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, God's Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. We know him, brethren, if we have God's Holy Spirit in us. For he dwells with you and will be in you. And then verse 18 of John 14, it says, Jesus is speaking, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And Jesus is talking about God's Holy Spirit, which is not a person. The Holy Spirit comes from the mind of God, brethren, and it's a gift that is given to those who have been called by God and who have repented of their sins. And also, of course, they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have been baptized, as I mentioned earlier. God's Spirit dwells in us as the gift of God. And we are to use God's Holy Spirit in our daily living in order to live our lives according to God's will. So very briefly, just an overview. We have God's Holy Spirit. If we've been baptized, hands have been laid on us. We're to use that Spirit in our daily living. It's in our minds, in our thoughts, which includes then from there actions. What kind of actions? Actions that would be very much important as we are living our lives based on God's way of living. Jesus is talking about God's Holy Spirit, which is not a person. The Holy Spirit comes from the mind of God, as I said earlier, and is a gift. It's a gift that is given to those who have been called by God and who have repented of their sins. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and, again, have been baptized. And God's Spirit dwells in us. That's very important for us to think about that continually, brethren. And it's a gift. And we are to use that Spirit in our daily living in order to live our lives according to God's will. So God's Holy Spirit is the power of God. That's mentioned in 2 Timothy 1:7. The power of God, and I'll quote it, it says, "It's the Spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind." However, brethren, utilizing God's Holy Spirit in our lives will help us to understand the meaning of showing God's love toward others. So now we're getting into another part of the message. God's love toward others. We must understand that serving others is an action. It's an action that displays the love of God, which has been given to us. We're displaying it through his Holy Spirit. And so here's a question for us. What does it mean, then, to serve others? I mentioned earlier, God's love toward others, and now we're defining that a little bit more, serving others. What does it mean to serve others? Now, the example of foot washing by Jesus Christ has taught us that we should be focused on serving others. His example and direction for us to do the same was very clear there in John 13:13-14. I'm not going to read that right now, but I would like to read now Galatians 5:13. For there it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So now we're beginning to understand about serving others. We serve others through the love of God that has been given to us through God's Holy Spirit, which is in us. We must utilize God's Holy Spirit, which is in our minds. So it's one thing for God's Spirit to be in our minds, brethren, and it's another thing for us to use that Holy Spirit that we have, which involves serving others. We have received the gift of love, in other words, and should apply it to others through service, through service. So as I read earlier, the title is Love and Service. So now we're heading toward that part that deals with service. However, love always remains with us, of course. We can understand that loving parents will be serving their children in many ways. And in return, children will also be serving their parents by helping out at home, helping out with any younger children. So serving is a very broad term. I understand that. And some of you know that I come from a large family. I had 6 sisters and 4 brothers. So there were 10 of us. 10 of us in a house that was 4-bedroom. And we were pretty close together, not only in the ages, but pretty close together in the home. 4 of my 6 sisters were older than me. And so you can understand that the older children helped around the house in different ways. Obviously, they were more mature. And so they were helping in different ways, the younger ones. We can also think of that as serving one another. Serving one another. Now, in 1 Peter 4:10, the English Standard Version, it says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." This was from 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. Now, brethren, let's go back to Matthew 24, verse 45, where Jesus is talking about the faithful servant and the evil servant. Let us read together the passage regarding the faithful and wise servant. We will see very easily what is expected regarding being a faithful and wise servant. So in Matthew 24, verse 45, of course, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." In other words, find him busy. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler of all his goods. And then he goes on and says, or I will describe it a little more. It mentions that, I'm mentioning this, the faithful servant is consistent, he's responsible, he's loyal, and shows those qualities of a faithful servant who does what his master expects. He believes in what his master directed him to do while his master went away on a trip. We should ask questions continually, the question whether we are faithful servants. If we need to improve, which we all probably do, then let's all do it. Jesus is explaining we must be consistent in our service to others by expressing our love towards them. We all will be held accountable when Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. Now, I'm not saying anything that we probably all understand, but to go with this message, it's very important. Then it says, the evil servant then, Matthew 24, 48 to 51, part of the where we were just a little while ago, 48, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, the evil servant right now is described as evil and includes his thoughts regarding the importance of being a servant. There in verses 48 and 49. It is obvious that this servant does not care at all about serving his master. He thinks that he is not responsible to what he has required to do. He is obviously refusing to do his assigned work as a servant to his master. He is not loyal and obedient to his master. He doesn't care for the needs of others. He lacks respect for those in need. He obviously does not believe seriously what he has been directed to do as a servant. We could say this person is a loner, one by himself, ignores everything, just him or her or whatever. And I'll continue. It says, he or she does not care about how he serves. He is filled with a word we don't like to hear, but he is filled with apathy. Apathy, which means doesn't care. He will be punished severely unless he repents. Now, in Acts 20, verse 35, here, the Apostle Paul gives some very important comments. Acts 20, verse 35. He says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that we must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's notice that Paul states, we must support the weak. He does not say we should support the weak. He states that we must support the weak. Let's read what William Barclay states in his commentary. William Barclay, he says that the term bondservant is used many times in the Bible. The Apostle Peter called himself a bond servant of Jesus Christ in 2 Peter 1:1, and so did Paul in Romans 1:1, and Titus 1:1, and so did James in James 1:1, and so did Jude in Jude verse 1, and so did John in Revelation 1:1. And you can read in Revelation 15:3, and Moses is mentioned there as a servant. Now, a bondservant was expected to be a servant for life. A servant for life. These men began their letters by declaring that they were bondservants of Jesus Christ for life. That should be our desire, brethren, when we get right down to it, to serve Jesus Christ, which also implies that we are to serve God our Father also. Of course, we understand that. They stated something like this. I love you and do not want to ever leave you. I belong to you. I want to serve you all my life. That's a bondservant, a servant for a lifetime, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the question. What about us, brethren? Can we consider that we are actually servants, bondservants of Jesus Christ for life? Now, 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter says, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So he repeats, he's a servant. Now, let's look at the example of Jesus Christ, what he says in Philippians 2:5-7. There he says, let this mind be in you, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being made in human likeness. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus himself was a bond servant to God the Father. We should all be following his example. John 15:12 says this. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now remember, brethren, serving one another implies that we love one another. And of course, we understand that our loving God wants us to involve him and Jesus Christ in building a close relationship with them. I believe we can recognize that we should not leave God and Christ out of our daily living. Excuse me. Jesus Christ lives in us, brethren, through God's Holy Spirit. Loving service to others that brethren can apply in many ways is certainly something that would be approved by our loving brother, Jesus Christ. So in thinking about some of these ways, let me list a few ways that perhaps we might not think about. These examples certainly can apply to me. I'm speaking to myself. Quite a few here. Respecting one another, treating people with courtesy, smiling, friendliness, use of words that are uplifting instead of putting down. Getting involved in the many activities that occur in our congregation. Acknowledging one another in our services. Learning the names of one another. Being supportive of the vision and mission of the United Church of God, which would include praying for others. Praying for the success of the Beyond Today program. Praying for the sick. Praying for our pastor, brethren. Praying for our pastor. Elders. And praying for the deacons. In other words, praying for one another. praying for one another. Of course, serving in the church choir, and I mentioned this, is also an excellent way of providing service. And we do need more members, brethren, but this is one way that I just mentioned, that we need ways of treating these words about service along with love. Now, please realize that I believe UCG Garden Grove is a loving church congregation. Been here over 50 years, 45 years, something like that, over 40, toward 50. I could cite names of many people who have served graciously through the years in several ways. Many, many people have passed through our doors filled with love for one another. We see them continually, and as I look out, I see you right out there. Certainly, I could name the names of many brethren who displayed much love to my wife Esther and me during her long illness, and of course to others in their illnesses. We must never forget that praying for others is an important form of godly service. Prayer, and I think we understand that. We can be sure that our loving God and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, are certainly well pleased when love and service toward others is displayed by their people. In other words, just simply saying hello, happy Sabbath, is not enough. There's can be more than that as we see each other here. But that's just one comment there. Let's remember to focus how we can better serve our congregation, brethren. And of course, this is a very loving congregation. How we can develop our Christ-like service of love for others. Let's not forget that we are God's people. We are God's people. And I would like to end the message now. There's this hymn called We Are God's People. So I would like to end this message by reading two verses from that hymn, We Are God's People. So I'll read it right now. It's on 133 if you want to take it from there. But it says, We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord, led by His Spirit, established by His Word. Our cornerstone is Christ alone, and strong in Him we stand. Oh, let us live transparently and walk heart to heart and hand in hand. That's with one another, of course, brethren. We are God's loved ones, the bride of Christ our Lord. For we have known it, the love of God outpoured. Now, let us learn how to return the gift of love once again. Let us share each joy and care and live with a zeal that pleases heaven.